Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin and Daf Lamed Gimel. We're beginning on Lamed Gimel on Aleph at the two dots, about 10, 11 dots down from the top of the Amud. And we quote the Mishnah where we said that Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin said that a person cannot go and nullify the shaliach that he sent to deliver a get to his wife unless he does so in the presence of the shaliach, or he does it in the presence of the wife and says that the get is batel, the shlichus is batel, because Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin said, we're concerned it may tikkun ha'olam. It's going to cause a tremendous takola and a problem. What is this problem? So we have two possibilities. Morris starts off and tells us, my mitnei tikkun ha'olam. We learned the Mishnah. We only said one of these reasons as Rashi had brought down. Now we're going to learn both of them. So what does it mean that Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin was concerned about tikkun ha'olam? My mitnei tikkun ha'olam. So the first reason is from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Omar mipnei takonas mamzerin, because of the concern that Rachmana Litzlan, this woman, is not going to realize that the get that she was delivered is not a valid get, because the shlichus was batel, and therefore the get that the shliach brought her is not a valid get, and she's still a married woman. And what's going to happen? The shliach doesn't know this, she doesn't know this, they all think it's a valid get, she's going to go get married, have a child with a new husband, mazel tov. But then, unfortunately, we're going to find out that the husband never divorced her, and therefore she's married illegitimately to this other person. It's not a real marriage. It's called adultery. And therefore, the child that's born from that is a mamzer. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says this tikkun ha'olam that Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin was concerned about was that there could be mamzerim brought into the world. Kolomar, as Rashi says, shlo yu mamzerim b'Yisrael. This will prevent there being mamzerim brought into Kal Yisrael. So that's why Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin made this takana. That's Rabbi Yochanan's reasoning. Rish Lakish is a different reason. Rish Lakish Amar, mipnei takana sagunos. The concern over here is that the woman will not be able to get a divorce because the get is being sent with the shliach and the husband was a vatalit. So the woman, therefore, is not divorced. Now the husband goes off on a business trip and he doesn't come back. In Rachmana Litzlan, the woman is going to be left as a naguna. So therefore, Rish Lakish says that the reason of Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin was that we don't allow the husband to go and nullify the shlichus, because this way the woman will get the get, and the get will allow the woman not to be an aguna. The husband doesn't come back from the business trip, so then she's a divorcee, and she's not an aguna. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mipnei Takonas Mamzerim. Rabbi Yochanan's reasoning is based upon this concern about bringing Mamzerim into the world, because Sava Lo Ki Rav Nachman Amar Mipnei Shnayim, because we had yesterday in the Gemara Machlokis, when you have to go and pronounce originally Meikara, when they allowed this, Barishona, they allowed this husband to go and be mevatel to get, not in the presence of the shliach or the wife. He had to do it in front of a beis din. We had a machlokas yesterday in Rav Nachman and the opinion of Rav Sheshes as to whether this was a beis din of two or whether this was a beis din of three. So Rav Nachman says it's a beis din of two. So Sava Lo Ki Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan holds like Rav Nachman, Domer B'nei Shnayim, that you only originally needed to do this in front of two people. And Ubei Trei, two people, less Lahu Kola. It won't have a voice, it won't have a publicization. It won't be well known, because two people, he did in front of two people, it doesn't have such a cold to it. And therefore, that's why this woman will not have heard that the shlichus was mevutal, and she'll go get married, Rachman son, and have children. And that's what the Gemara says. He lo shama, she won't know about it, because it doesn't have a cold to it. The lo yada, the ozla uminseva. And she won't know that the get isn't the good get, and she'll go and get married to this nice new husband, and she'll have children, vika mamzerim, and those children will be mamzerim. So we see that Rav Yochanan Mistama holds like the opinion of Rav Nachman, that we're allowed to go and originally do this nullification of the shalichus without the shliach or the wife being present. Originally you could do this in a beis din. The beis din was, according to Rav Nachman, even two people. It didn't have a kol, and that's why Rav Yochanan is concerned about takonas mamzerin. Reish Lakish, he holds like Rav Sheshes. Reish Lakish, Amar Mipnei Takonas Agunos, he says the reason is because we're concerned that this woman will not be an aguna, the get won't be a good get, and her husband went off on the business trip and it didn't come back. Now, is she a widow or is she in limbo? So we don't know. So he holds, Reish Lakish holds, Sova Lo Ki Rav Sheshes. What was that? The Amar Mipnei Gimel, that this based in, that originally the din was, that the husband could be vat to the shlichos, not in the presence of the shlich, not in the presence of the wife, was if he did in front of a basin. Now, a basin of three has a kol to it. Ubei tlosa is lu kola, so there's no doubt in this situation that the wife will hear about it. So the wife will know, vishama v'yada v'lo minseva. So the wife will know that this get is not a kosher get. When the shliach comes and gives it, she'll say, no, listen, the beis din said that this was mevutal. I heard about this, and therefore she won't get go and get married. But meanwhile, the husband went off on the business trip, and now he hasn't returned. The takana saguna sudika, and therefore, this woman, this poor woman, will be left unclear. Is she a widow? Is she still married? And therefore, she'll be an aguna. And therefore, Reish Lakish, who holds like Rosh Hashanah, says the concern isn't about mamzeres. The concern is about being an aguna, and that's why the rabbi said the takana Rav Gamliel Hazakin was, don't allow this nullification to occur unless it's done actually in the presence of the shaliach or of the woman. Okay, before she gets to the guy. Now, Tanur Rabbanan, we learn the following braisa, what happens if the husband didn't follow Rav Gamliel Hazakin, and he was mavatal the get in front of the basin, either two or three, two like Rav Nachman, three like Rosh Hashanah, which Rav Gamliel Hazakin said you can't do. So he didn't listen to Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin. Bitlo, he made it batel. So is it good or is it not good? Is this bitl good and therefore the get is no longer allowed to be given? The shlichus is nullified. Or do we say no, that it is not batel and in fact the shlichus is not nullified and therefore the get is a good get? So bitlo, if the husband went and was mavatel this in front of the basin of either two or three people and he didn't do it in front of the shliach. He didn't do it in front of the wife. And Rabbi Gamliel HaZakein says, therefore, that is not a valid get. Maybe is that l'chatchila that it's not a valid get. You shouldn't go and do this. But b'di'eved mevutol. It, in fact, is good b'di'eved divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says, if you didn't listen to Rabbi Gamliel HaZakein, it still is a valid bitl. And therefore, the get cannot be delivered. And even though there now be this concern of Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Mamzerim or the concern of Reish Lakish, because of an aguna, takonas agunos, so therefore, Rebbe says, unfortunately, the bittul does take effect, despite Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin trying to say, you shouldn't do this, he made a takona, don't do this, but the bottom line is, Rebbe holds that it is mevutul, the nullification of this husband does work, as long as he did in front of the basin. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Eino Yochol, Lo Levatlo, he says you can't change it. You can't do anything with this. The get cannot be mevateled or changed unless you do it in the presence of the shliach before he gives it to the wife or in the presence of the wife before she gets it. So you can't go and be mevatel it because Rabbi Gamliel HaZakin said you can't do it. And it works even b'di'eved that you can't do this. We'll have to explain in a moment why. And you can't go and make any additional conditions. Let's say you originally said, I'll give you this get if you give me $100,000. Now you can't say, well, I'll only give you the get if you give me $200,000. You can't go and do that. You can't change any of the conditions in the get. Because if you could, she'im kain, if you could go and nullify this, so then Rabbi Gamliel HaZakin, when he was mesakin, his basin, Rabbi Gamliel HaZakin and his basin were mesakin, that you're not allowed to do this. If we allow you to do it, she'im kain, makoch basin yofi, then we've essentially taken away all the power of basin. So basin made a decree, and you're saying that we can ignore it, essentially, so then makoch basin yofi, then how are we, in fact, giving power to the basin? Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin's basin has essentially been pushed aside and made worthless. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, we carry through the takana of Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin and his basin, even to the extent that if the husband did nullify the shlichus, it won't work if he nullified it not in the presence of the shliach or the wife. Now, Gemara questions, how could Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say that we give them power to go and nullify the nullification that he did? After all, bottom line is, he was mavatal the shlichus. On a daraisa level, that shlichus is batal. And the shliach, when he gives the get, doesn't divorce the woman. Because of this concern, the people are going to say, the basin has no power. Sharin and Eishas Ishli Alma, we essentially now have permitted this woman, who really is an Eishas Ish, to go and marry somebody else. How could that possibly be that a takana of Rabbi Gamliel HaZakin, as great as he was, could go and erase a din d'araisa? Mi d'araisa, the husband does have the right to be mevatel the get. He did it in front of a basin. He was mevatel the shlichus, and therefore the woman is still a married woman. And you're saying, mi d'rabbanan, we allow that get to work, and the get is in fact going to remove an issa d'araisa of eishes ish? How is that possible? So what's his in? It is 100% possible. This is absolutely doable. Why? Because the rule of thumb is, when a person says, kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, those last three words, kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, are extremely important. Called the mekadesh adaito de rabbanon mekadesh, when a man is mekadesh a woman. So it was with the understanding that he's doing it the way the Chachamim wanted it done. And therefore, if this person goes and goes against what Rabbi Gamliel HaZakin said, don't nullify this shlichus, unless you do it in front of the shlich or in front of the wife before she gets the get. If you do it in front of the beis din, Rabbi Gamliel HaZakin says, we're retroactively uprooting your kiddushin, and that's why this nullification doesn't work, because granted, on a deraisa level, this shlicha still goes through, but also on a deraisa level, this woman is not considered ever to have been married, because it was al das Moshe of Yisrael, and therefore, the das of the Chachamim is that this marriage never took place. Now, how does that work, that this marriage never took place? How do they uproot the marriage? Because of the principle of Hefker based in Hefker. The Kesef Kiddushin, the ring, the money that this husband gave to that wife when they got married X number of years ago, the rabbis now have the power to say that that wasn't given Alst Kiddushin, that was given as a financial gift, a present. And therefore, they've uprooted its power to give Kiddushin, and therefore, retroactively, this woman is not considered to have ever been married. And therefore, now, there is no concern of her children being a mamzer. If she, in fact, goes and have a second marriage, so that's really now her first marriage, because her Kiddushin on her first husband had been retroactively uprooted so that there was no Kiddushin. Now, Tosus has a huge discussion over here. If this is allowable, in general, you can go and remove almost any problem by having a husband give a get to his wife and then having him mevatel it, not in front of the beis din, and that will automatically click in and make the original kiddushin not good. So you could get around a lot of problems of adultery. You could get around a lot of problems of that nature, Tosus says, if this were to be allowed. And therefore, Tosus says, we don't allow this. Below, in the normal circumstances, we don't allow this. Shemitoch kach yu b'nosis ol perutzos barayis. However, in baru lanu shelo niskavin lekach, then lo chashina nimichol nitar. So then you could be mitar mamzer, you could do all sorts of other things, possibly, Tosa says, based upon this huge kula. Now, this huge kula is almost never, in fact, ever utilized. And this is a whole big discussion in the contemporary poskim as to when and how, under what circumstances, can you retroactively go and uproot a kiddushin. And the bottom line is almost never. But at least in theory, this is applicable here. Now, that's way, way too deep for us to go into more detail about this right now, but this is a critical Gemara in terms of how you can ever, under what circumstances you can ever go and uproot a Kiddushin retroactively. But the bottom line is, in, Beis Din does have that power, called the Mekadesh Adaita, the Rabbanu Mekadesh, and therefore, V'afkinu Rabbanu L'Kiddushin Mine. The rabbis retroactively uprooted his original Kiddushin, and they never were married. This would be somewhat like Kaviyocho, an annulment, but it's not an annulment. It's that there never was Kiddushin over here, and therefore this woman is now not an Eishes Ish, and therefore if she did go and get married to somebody else, those children would not be Mamzer. Gemara says, that works out great if there was Kesef Kiddushin, if there was a ring or money that caused the original Kiddushin to take effect. And Amalei Ravina Ravashi, that works out great. Tenach the Kaddish Makaspa. Ravina says that works out because the rabbis have the power, Hefker based in Hefker, to uproot the original Kiddushin, to not be Kiddushin, just to be a financial change from his pocket to her pocket, but it's not Kiddushin. So Tenach the Kaddish Makaspa, that's if you gave Kesef, you gave a ring, so they can uproot it. What happens? Kaddish Bevia, if they got married through what we don't allow, but we know that a woman can be Isha. Mekadesh is Mekesef Shtar Ubiya, so we normally don't allow a woman to be married Bia. In fact, they used to give Malkus to somebody who would go and bring home a woman to his house and be Mekadesh with Bia, with having relations with her, but Midaraisa, she is Mekudeshes in that situation, albeit the rabbis would give him rabbinical lashes. So what happens if that was how this woman got married? How can the rabbis uproot that retroactively? Ma'ikal Amemar, what are you going to say about that? That's what Ravina asked Ravashi. Ravashi says, no problem, same exact thing. Shavua Rabbanu Levi Lasso, the rabbis made his original having relations with her as if it was a Be'ilaznus, as if it was a promiscuous type of a relations. It was just a one-night stand. It was just Rachmanu Litzlan Znus, and it wasn't, in fact, L'Shem Kiddushin. He did it L'Shem Kiddushin. The rabbis have the koyach to uproot that as well. Just like they do with the money, they can uproot the idea over here of the Kiddushin because of Kiddas Moshe of Yisrael. Every Kiddushin, however it's performed, is done with the understanding that it has to be with the sanctity that the Rabbanan instituted in that act, and the rabbis have the power to retroactively say that it wasn't L'shem Kedushim, it was just Stam Znus. Again, Halacha L'maisa, there is the potential to do this, but in practice, it is almost never ever done for various very, very detailed, complex reasons, which the Poskim and the Halacha goes into detail, but not for now. Okay. Now we have another machlokas between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel. The first machlokas we had was, can you nullify this get? If you went against the words of Rabban Gamliel Hazakin, so Rebbe said, Taka, the get is going to be nullified then. You can't go and say that the husband cannot do this. If he does go against Rabban Gamliel Hazakin, so then the shlichus of the get is nullified. Whereas Rabban Shimon Gamliel said, no, that under no circumstances, because of koch based in Yofet, my koch based in Yofet, in this situation, we do not give the person the right to go and nullify the shlichus without it being in the presence of the shliach or the presence of the wife before she gets the get. You cannot do this anymore in the presence of the basin. So that was the first machlokas, and now we have another machlokas. What's this other machlokas? Omer la'sara, if a husband says to 10 people, now he doesn't use the word kulchem. We already learned early in the Masechta, we'll have this later in the Masechta as well, that if you say to 10 people, I want all of you to be involved, that all of them have to be involved. But here, he didn't say kulchem. The husband said in front of 10 people, Omer la'sara, to 10 people, kisvu get lishti. Some of you, go and write this get for my wife. In other words, he didn't say all of them, kulchem. So in this situation, yochol levato zeh shelo bifnei zeh. He then goes to, let's say, the 10 people here, and he goes to two of them, and he says, listen, you two, I'm taking away the authorization for you to go write and give a get to my wife on my behalf. But the other 8, he didn't say anything to them. So Rebbe's opinion is that, yes, the 2 that he said, you cannot do this, those 2 can no longer be shlichim. Even though he said originally to all 10 of them, kisu get lishti, and any 2 of the 10 could have done this, but when he goes to Mimavatl, the first 2 of them, or any 2 of them, and says, you guys no longer are my shlichim in this, yochel levato zeh, shelo b'vnei zeh. He can nullify 2 of them, even though it's not in front of all of the other 8, in front of all the total of the 10. Divri Rebbe, that's Rebbe's opinion. Whereas Rebbe Shimon Gamliel disagrees. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel omer, ein yochel levatel ella zeh b'vnei zeh. He has to go and tell the 2 that he doesn't want to be the shlichim anymore. He has to tell them, you can't be my shaliach in this situation, but he has to tell it in front of the other 8. He has to tell it in front of all of them. Otherwise, the nullification doesn't work. And so much so, as Rashi explains, that even the 2 that he nullified, he befeirish told them, you can't be my shaliach, since he didn't nullify it in front of the other 8, so they still are shlichim. Now, why is that? But my kamifli, what are Rebbe and Shimon Gamliel saying? Rebbe holds that those 2 are not allowed to be the shlichim. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, those 2, since he didn't do it in front of the other 8, are, in fact, still those 2, never mind the other 8, are allowed to be shlichim. How come? Malaika Miflik, what are they arguing about? So, the Gemara wants to suggest, the edus shebot lo miktsasa bot lo kula, kamifligate. That Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel are arguing about this concept, that if you nullify part of the edus shebot lo miktsasa, if you go and take away some of the testimony, some of the edus, so then batla kula, then the rest of the testimony, the rest of the edus is nullified as well. That is the machlokas, that's the focal point of discussion between Rebbe and Shimon Gamliel. Rebbe savar, in fact, Rebbe holds that edus shebatla miktsasa, and we turn to Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, lo batla kula. If in fact you go and nullify part of an edus, so that part of the edus that you nullified is no good, but the rest of the edus is still good. So in this situation, Rebbe is consistent. He told all 10 of these people, go and write the get for my wife, and any 2 of the 10 can go and do that. But then he tells these 2, don't do it. So it's like he's nullifying part of his edus. He's nullifying part of his statement. It doesn't impact the others. So therefore, lo batla kula, the other 8 guys in this situation, are still able to go write the get. That is Rebbe, consistent with his opinion that Eidu Shabbat L'mitzasa, lo bat l'kula. That is Rebbe's opinion. And it holds true for the get situation, and Kisu get lishti in front of the 10 people, and then he nullifies 2 of them. And it holds true in the case where part of his testimony is no longer kosher, but the rest still could be kosher. Lo bat l'kula. That's Rebbe's opinion. V'i azli hanach kosvi v'yavi, lichtivu v'leisu. And therefore, if the other eight people wish to go and write the get, they have the halachic right to do so and to give it to the wife because they were never mevuto. Only the other two guys were mevuto. Now, Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees. Rav Shimon Gamliel savar, no. Eidus shebat l'mitzosa bat lo kula. If you have, in fact, eidus, where part of the eidus is nullified, so then the whole eidus goes out the window. And therefore, in this situation, when the husband went and nullified the two of them, but he didn't do this in front of the other eight, so therefore, in this situation, eidus shebat l'mitzosa bat lo kula. So it's all no good. V'hanach lo yadi, and the others don't know about it, and therefore, the Ozle, because of the Yahweh, so they're going to not know about this, that the first two have been nullified, and they're going to think that they are also still able to go and give, and therefore, Bisharu Eishas Isliyama, when they go give the get, they're not allowed to, because Eidu Shabbat L'mitzasa Bat L'kula, when he nullified those two, he nullified them as well. And therefore, they weren't allowed to go and give the get, Bisharu Eishas Isliyama, and then if she goes and gets married, she's, Rahman al-Islam, going to be committing adultery, and any of her children will be Mamzerim. To prevent this, Rav Shimon Gamaliel said, "Eino yachol levatel ella ze mitzvah." You must go and tell them all together, because if you tell them when they're not together, they'll mistakenly think they can still go. That is the first understanding of Rav Shimon ben Gamaliel. The Bai Seima, there's another way to understand this machlokes between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamaliel. In fact, the kulei yama eidu shabbat lemitzvah lo bat lekula. In fact, everybody agrees that even though you nullify these two, the other eight are still perfectly capable of going. So then what's the machlokes? Why does he then say that you have to go nullify these two in front of those eight, if in fact eidus shabbat mitzvah lobot lekula, so then the other eight can really go? Why do they have to be there? So Gemara says, the second reasoning, understanding of Rav Shimon Gamaliel is, kisavar milso demis avda b'yapei asara tzricha b'asara lemishlefa, because they were assigned authority to go and deliver the get, all 10 together. So the only way you can stop all 10 of them and only say some of them can't go, but the others can, it must be in front of the entire group as well. Tzricha be'asara l'mishlefa. So if you want to tell some that they can't do it, you have to tell it in front of everybody. This is the second understanding of Rav Shimon Gamaliel. The Gemara will now show us a nafka mina between the two, and it says in the following scenario, if you learn like the first version, you'll have it come out one way. If you learn like the second version, you'll have it come out another way. So, if it's Eidu Shabbat L'Mikzos or Bat L'Kula, you have one result from this case that we're about to say. And if it's because of Ksav Milsa, the Misav, the Biapi Asara, Tzricha Be Asara, L'Mishlefa, so then you'll come out the other way. What are we talking about? Ibad L'Yas in the Beis Medrash. Kulchem, what happens if the person said in front of all 10 of them? Not that he just said, two of you go and write this get, but he said, Kulchem, all of you. Now, in that situation, what would the opinion of Shimon Gamaliel be? So it depends. Taima, if you tell me, Taima, the Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, Mishum de Ksava, Eidu Shabbat, Mitzvah, Sabbat, Lekula. It was the first understanding that we had of Shimon Gamaliel, that when you nullified part of them, you've nullified all of them, and therefore, that's why they can't go. That's why he said, you must tell him Zeh Bifnei Zeh. If you don't tell him Zeh Bifnei Zeh, it could lead to a tremendous takala. So then, in this situation, Vahani, Kivan, Domer, Lechu, Kulchem, since he said, all of you must do this, so then there's no potential takala over here. Lomotsu, Kosu, Yahweh, because they all know, everybody knew the din, that if he says Kulchem, then all 10 of you have to do it. So if two of them aren't there, so then the other eight won't be able to go and give it. Now, the two that were nullified, so they're not going to come and write the get, because they were told that they're nullified. But there's no potential takala over here if you hold that Kulchem, all 10 of them have to be there to write it. So therefore, lo matzu kasvei v'yave, and there's no risk over here of a takala. So according to this first understanding of Shimon Gamaliel, there would be no problem in the case of Kulchem for him to go and nullify in front of two, but not in front of the other eight. Or Dilma, do we say no? That the reasoning of Rav Shimon Gamaliel is the second reasoning. Time of the Rav Shimon Gamaliel, Mishum Diksavar Kol Milsa the Misad the Biapei Beasara Tzricha Beasara LeMishlefa. Since it was said in front of 10 to appoint them, it happens he said in front of all 10 to go and take away that appointment. The Hilkach Apilu Kulchem Nami. And therefore, in this situation, if the husband were to say, "All of you have to write it," and he had nullified two of them, so then in that situation, even those two could still combine with the other eight and go and give the get. Because You needed all 10 there, and all 10 weren't there. So therefore, this nullification that he gave to the two doesn't work, and they still can go and write the get themselves. So these are the two possibilities to learn Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. How do we paskin? So Toshma, more wants to bring a riot from the following brisa. Amar l'shnai, if a man said to just two people, but he's telling both of them, Tenu get li'ishti, go and give this get to my wife. Yochel levato zeh shelo b'nei zeh, divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says, no problem. You can be mevato one of them, not in the presence of the other one. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ein yochel levato elo zeh b'nei zeh. The only way you can be mevato them is if you do both of them at the same time. And you mevato one of them in the presence of the other one. Then the bittul works. But otherwise, if you don't do it in front of both of them, the bittul won't work. Now, what do we see from here? There's no difference between kulchem for 10 or kulchem for 2. And yet, you see that Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel are arguing Upligi even in this case. So therefore, it turns out that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's reasoning is like the second idea, that you have to do, just like you authorize them in front of 10, you have to go and rescind it in front of 10, so too. You authorize it in front of the 2, so you have to rescind it in front of the 2. And that's why Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, Eino yochel levatel elo zeh bifnei zeh. They both have to be there. So the second understanding of Shimon Gamliel seems to be the correct one. Ravashi doesn't accept that. Ravashi says, no. If, in fact, this was talking about a deksiva over here, you would be 100% right. Hochanami. Then your proof would be good. However, hochamayaskina, they're not talking about a deksiva. Look carefully what he said. He said, tenu get li'ishti. He didn't say go and write the get. He said, tenu get li'ishti. Just bring the get to my wife. Now, in this situation, there's the potential for the takala that the second shaliach will not realize that the first shaliach has been made null and void, and therefore his ability to be a shaliach is also null and void. And therefore, that could lead to a tremendous takala. He won't know that, and he'll say only one person is obligated to bring the get, and he could bring the get on his own and act as a shaliach, but it's not a valid get. Therefore, that's why Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said that you must do this one in front of the other one. But if it's Eidei Kesiva, he in fact would say you don't have to. And the word says, Taka, this is the right understanding. Rav Ashi's way of understanding this is Taka right. Hochanami Mistaver, it makes good sense. Because the Ketani Sefa, keep on reading that Brisa. The Brisa says, Omar Lezeh Bifnei Atzmo, Ulezeh Bifnei Atzmo, if this husband told each of them, you go separately, you go separately. Yochol levato zeh shelo b'nei zeh. In that situation, he doesn't have to go and be mevato one in front of the other. He authorized them separately, so he doesn't have to be mevato them together. He can mevato them separately. Now, iyarmes b'shlomo b'edei halacha, if you're saying this is in regards to edei halacha, shaper, we understand why that is so, because each one could actually go on their own. Elo iyarmes b'edei ksiva, but if you're talking about edei ksiva, so mimitztarfe, could each of them be asked to sign on their own? We had already learned previously, Abamar, ein eduson mitztarefes achiyu shteim kiecha, they both have to sign together. Remember, we had that previously when we had on Daf Yud and Daf Yud Aleph, when we talked about could one of the Eidim be a Kusi or not? So we said, no, they have to sign together. So if you tell me they have to sign together, how could he tell one to go and be the agent and then another one in a separate time to be the agent if you're talking about Eidim Kasiva? They have to be doing it together. Oh, Haraya, Hachanami Mistabra, that this is talking about Eidei Holocha. That sounds like a very good proof, but the Gemara says not necessarily so. Maybe, in fact, our Brisa doesn't go like that opinion. Dilma, Kirav Yeshua ben Karchas Virulei. If you were to continue learning that sugya, so there's the opinion of Yeshua ben Karchas. Rashi says, the Polig Allah, the Perik Sheni de Ksubas, and Gemara in Ksubas and Daf Chavavu mit Beis, and also in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Beis Amid Aleph, it should say, not Lamed. And it says over there, it's acceptable to have these two witnesses sign not at the same time. So therefore, we don't have a raya to Rav Ashi. We haven't disproven Rav Ashi. We don't have a raya to Rav Ashi. And we're left with the two possible understandings of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Either it's because Eidus Shabbat Mitzosa Bat Lekula, or it's because of Ksavah Milsa Demis Abda B'Yapei Asara Tzricha Be'Asara Lemishlefa. Now the Gemara continues and tells us an interesting idea. Amr Shmuel bar Yehuda, Shmuel bar Yehuda says, Shamas mina de Rabbi Abba tarte. I heard from Rabbi Abba two things. He said, number one, Chodo Kirabi, the Chodo Kirabi Shimon Gamliel. In one case, he passed like Rebbe, and in one case, he passed like Shimon Gamliel. Now, here we have two machlokas over here between Rebbe and Shimon Gamliel. And what Rebbe Abba was saying is, in one of these two cases, we passed like Rebbe, and in one of these two cases, we passed like Shimon Gamliel. However, Reb Shmuel Bar Yehuda said, I don't know which one he said it about. V'lo yadana, hey, Kirabi, the hey, Kirabi Shimon Gamliel. I don't know which one he passed like Rebbe, and which one he passed like Reb Shimon Gamliel. So, to that responds Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, let's see if we can figure it out. Which one that was in fact Rabbi Abba passing like Rabbi and which one he passing like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Now, say it now. Let's see if we can figure it out ourselves. Because the Chiosa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, as was frequently mentioned many times, that certain Amarayim, Rav Dimi, Rav Ovin, others, Rav Zeira, would come from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. From Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, they would pass the Torah back and forth from the two places. So when Rav Dimi once came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said, Maisa, that once was such a Maisa, the also Rebbe Kidivrei Chachamim, and Rebbe Paskin like the Chachamim. Now what is this talking about? So Rashi explains, this is a Gemara in Ksubos, in Perek Almon and Nizonis, on Daf Kuf Omud Aleph. And it says over there that if the Beis Din made a mistake, they evaluated somebody's property that they were going to go and use to pay off a debt, and if they evaluated it by being off by more than a sixth, so then their shum, their evaluation, is considered null and void. So Rebbe paskined like the Chachamim originally, and Amar Lefanav Rebbe Prata Beno Shor Belozer Ben Parta, that originally Rebbe Parta, who was the son of Rebbe Lozer, who was the son of Parta, and therefore this Rebbe Parta was Ben Benosha Rebbe Parta Agadol. So in this situation, he said, if you are correct and you're essentially nullifying the shum of the Beis Din, so then in Cain, Ma Koach Beis Din Yofer, you've essentially emasculated the court. You've made the court laughingstock. You made the court have no power. If you can retract what the court did, if they made a mistake and you can retract it, so then you've essentially made the court powerless. And therefore, that's what this Rebbe Parta told to Rebbe, and Rebbe changed his opinion. And instead of passing like this opinion that the court shum is null and void, he changed it. The Chazar Rebbe, the also from Shimon Gamliel, who says, Im Kain, Ma Koach Beis Din Yofer. And therefore, to strengthen the Beis Din, he said in this situation that we don't go and remove this evaluation that the Beis Din did improperly, but we let it stand. Just like he said that over here, so Mistama, Rebbe Paskin, like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, as well, in the Makoch based in Yofer case, where Rabbi Gamliel Hazokin had said that it is null and void, so Rabbi Shimon Gamliel had said, in fact, it is null and void, even bid the Evet, that we took away the power of the husband to go and be mevatel the shlichos. So Mistama, in that situation, Rabbi Abba Paskin, like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. No, Umi the Hawk, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, if in that situation, Rabbi Abba Paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Mistama, in the other situation, Hach Kirebi, in the case of, do you have to go and nullify all the agents together? Do we say, Batla Mitzaso, Batla Kula, in that situation, he Paskin like Rebbe, that said, you do not have to go and do the nullification in the presence of everybody. If you did in front of some of them, those are nullified, and the others are perfectly good to go. And in fact, the same thing was said by Rav Yoshia. The Af Rav Yoshia, the Menusha, Rav Yoshia came from the city of Usha. Sovar, he also held Chodok Rebbe. In one case, he passed like Rebbe. The Chodok Rishim Gubliel, in one case, he passed like Rishim Gubliel. And the Omar, Rabbah Bar Bar Chana. And Rabbah Bar Chana said that we were five of us sitting and learning in front of Rav Yoshia. Chamisha, Sabe, Havino, and Kamed, Rav Yoshia, the Menusha. We were once sitting in front of this Rav Yoshia who came from Usha. And also, how Gavra Kamei, and there was a person who came there who had been reluctant to give a get to his wife, and Rav Yoshia felt that he was incorrect in not giving this get, and the Ashkele Gita Al Karche, and they more or less forced him to say, Rotsani, that I'm willing to go and give this get. This is a sugi that we'll learn later in the Masechta, but basically, a get has to be given a free will. But basically, can sometimes use measures to go and make the person give the get out of his own free will, to say, Rotsani, that I wish to give the get now. So therefore, they forced this person, Rav Yoshia's based, and forced this person to give the get, and he gave it in front of these five people. They were the witnesses. And Amalon, these five sages, he told them, Zilu, go, Itamoru, go and hide, Vikisula, and go write the get for this wife while you still can, before he goes and retracts it. So he told them to go and hide. Now, what do you see from here? If you, in fact, say he holds like Rebbe, that if the husband were to go and say, I'm nullifying the get against the takana of Rabban Gamliel Hazaki, that in fact does work, so then how does their hiding help? Ki mit merui, when they go and hide, my habi, he can go and nullify this according to Rabbi. So obviously, Elishmamino, ki Rabban Shimon Gamliel Sirulei, he obviously holds like Rabban Shimon Gamliel, that help, that even if the husband does nullify it, if he doesn't do it in front of the shaliach, or in front of the wife, so then it's not considered nullified. Now, how is that? Okay, so that's a proof that he holds like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Maybe the other place he also holds like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So then, if that were true, lomalei itamure, then why do they have to hide? All they have to do was libadru ibadure. All they have to do was separate. If they go and separate, and they're in different places, so according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, he can only nullify it if he nullifies it in front of all of them together. Oh, so in that case, it must be that he follows like Rebbe. And here you have the situation. Elishmamino, chodo ki Rebbe, v'chodo ki Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Here you too have that Rav Yoshia said the same thing. Rav Yoshia Mitzura also held like Rebbe Abba. One time he held like Rebbe, and the other case he held like Rav Shimon Gamliel. On the other hand, the Rava, Rav Nachman, halach Rebbe b'shtein. Rava said over the name of Rav Nachman that we pass like Rebbe in both cases. Not one like Rebbe, one like Shimon Gamliel. Both cases we pass like Rebbe. No, according to that, the less later Rebbe Nachman, makoch based in Yofeh, according to this, then if he passes like Rebbe, that means he doesn't concern himself with the power of Beis Din. Isn't he concerned about the loss of power of Beis Din? After all, Rav Nachman or Meshul, Rav Nachman said in the Meshul, we turn to Lamadal and Lamadal. In the case of Yisomim Shabo Lachlok B'nichse Avin, if you have Yisomim that are coming to divide at the state Nebuchadnezzar, their father, and their young children, so based in Mamidin Lehem Apotropos, based in appoints a court guardian for each of these children, let's say there's two children, Reuven and Shimon, their father Yaakov passed away, so Reuven and Shimon have court-appointed guardians to divide up the estate. Uborulem Chelik Yofeh, this guardian takes this part of the estate, this guardian takes that part of the estate, each of them for their respective children that they're representing. And now, Higdilu, when these two children, Reuven and Shimon, grow up, Yecholin Limchos, the Tanakhama says that if they wish to, they can say, hey, we don't like the division that we got, and we want to go put it all back into a single estate, and we'll divide it up anew. That's what the first opinion says, but he himself held no. Higdilu, when these two children grow up, they're no longer children, now they're adults, this Reuven and Shimon children can't say, hey, we want to redo the chalukah. One of them can't say, hey, I don't like the portion I got, I want to redo it. No. Why? Because Dim came, Makoch basing off that. Now here we see the Rav Nachman himself was one that held that you have to go and strengthen the opinion of the Beis Din. And you just said, V'rav Amar Rav Nachman, that Allah Rebbe B'shteyim, so then that seems to say that he doesn't hold of this din of Ma Koach Beis Din Yofeh then. So it seems to be a stira. So he says, no, there's a difference between Isura and Mamona. Hasam, in the case with the Yisom and Shabbat Lachlok, so Rav Nachman himself said, Higdilu Ein Yichol Limchos, because it's money. So therefore, in regards to money, so then we want the Beis Din's Koach to be powerful. Dim Kain, Ma Koach Beis Din Yofeh. However, in regards to Isura, Hacha Isura, in the case of the woman who's married, so in that situation, the bottom line is that even though Rabban Gamliel Hazaki said that the husband should not have the power to do this, we don't worry about Makoch Beis Din Yofeh in that situation, but we leave the basic din the way it was, which technically the husband has the right to go in front of the Beis Din, the two or three people, and say, I'm nullifying the shlichus, and we don't worry about Makoch Beis Din Yofeh. With this, we conclude today's share.